Welcome to the Fuller Chasing Money audio commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 16th of December, and I'm recording at 10:07 p.m., and that is Greenwich Mean Time in London. And, well, what an exciting day it was, don't you think? Certainly a fair amount of panic. When you see some of that, provided you've got sensible positions, that it's not a bad idea to see the humor in all that's going on, although it's not all that easy, because there are plenty of people panicking in and panicking out, mostly panicking out at the moment. And then, as is the predatory nature of the markets, there are a lot of people out there who are trying to make you panic in or panic out. Well, I was up in the home gym, as is the case pretty much every morning, and I could see how dramatic things were, so I took a little homeopathic arnica pill because I didn't want the heart pumping because of the exercises that I was doing, plus the market activity that was taking place. But then when I came down a little later on and sitting down at my desk, I wanted to buy a little more Shell and a little more BMW, and I looked them up, and the prices were up on the day, having been lower a little at the beginning. They were then up on the day. Well, who knows? Maybe I'll get another shot at them tomorrow. And if not that, then India's market, which is getting it's seen its first bigger correction since Modi was elected, and that indicates that we're seeing a medium-term reaction in India. And you may recall in some of the earlier audios from a month, two or three ago, that thought when we finally broke the very orderly uptrend consistency characteristics and got a medium-term correction, that would present another buying opportunity. I think if you missed out on India on the first time on the upside, or would like to have a little more, the way to do it is to nibble lightly while it's under pressure. And remember, India, well, in my opinion at any rate, but I think many people would agree with me, is the biggest beneficiary of the oil price drop that we're actually seeing. And then there's China. I watch when I'm in the gym, I see a little bit of CNBC and Bloomberg, and everybody who ever comes on and talks about China is talking about how everything's slowing down. But then China, in here today, as it was yesterday, is the only stock market that was up on the day, and the Shanghai Composite was not only up on the day, it was up 2.31%. I mean, it's left the Hang Seng for dust. I'm not quite sure how long that is going to go its own separate way. But what this does show you against that background of China news and the market performance is that this is one big powerful command economy market, and I'll put it this way: nothing happens that the central party isn't in markets, that the central party isn't driving. So they're not driving house prices higher anymore, but they are driving the stock market higher, and that's a ride I'll go along with. Okay, I say everything else to the downside, and India's declines, which had been very modest, but they picked up to nearly 2%. And is that climactic? Don't know. It's not back to the MA yet, so we will see. But it's interesting me at any rate once more. The European markets just had very sharp rallies. But Wall Street was up a couple of hundred points on the Dow when that took place, and the Dow ended down 112 points. So that may sober sober Europe in the market. We will see. But we had the Italian index was up over 3.25%, and there were a lot of 2+ percentage gains, including Germany, nearly 2.5%. But again, I don't think those can. I'd be awfully surprised if they didn't start off a little weaker come tomorrow. Now, everybody's been saying, well, you've got to go to the U.S. because it's had the best performance. These I'm talking about people speaking on the television shows saying it's had the best performance and it's got the strongest currency. Well, it's definitely got the strongest currency, but that's a headwind. And this is not helping the U.S. exporters one iota. It would help on the on imports, but imports are not expensive. It's the exports that are going to have a bit of a problem, are have already having a bit of a problem. And also the gains aren't that big. You've got S&P is up 6.73%, 6.73%. Well, that's compared with China in US dollar terms, which is up almost 40% on the year. And India has lost a lot of ground, but it's still up about 26% on the year. So my feeling, Wall Street's not only a little expensive in here, but that currency is going to be a problem, and the oil situation is also a problem when it's at today's levels. Well, what are today's levels? Because it's been all over the place. But that WTI is currently at $55.34, and it has been as high as 57.15 and as low as 53.60. It is down a little bit on the day, having been much lower and then moved much higher, all in the blink of an eye. And what we see also, the Brent, similar, well, not quite as volatile, but lost. I looked a few minutes ago, and it was at 59.74. It's still trading after hours, of course. But $59.74. I said last night we'd get into the 50s in the audio. I don't think we'll get into the 40s, is my guess. But it is obviously just a guess, because in these nervous conditions, markets can do well. They overshoot more often than not, and I think this is. Personally, I think this is an overshoot, but I think the game is over as far as OPEC having the control that it has enjoyed for five previous decades and would hope to regain. And I don't think that even the Saudis think that they're going to regain that kind of control, but what they are doing is. Hoping for a Pyrrhic victory in here, only more bit more expensive for the enemy than themselves, and they're probably seeing a lot of people as enemies from the oil shale producers to Russia to Iran, and the list no doubt goes on. Okay, what else is going on in here? In currencies, that dollar index fell back over 500, currently 545 points, not 0.545, I should say. It brings it down to 87.91. So that's well off its high, and I just wonder, was the Fed intervening in here? And you remember, you go back to 2008, 9, and 10, we did get the Fed interventions there, although it was done very quietly and sensibly so. That picked up sterling to 1.5751. It also lifted the euro up to 1.2509, barely steady against the Australian dollar, which is in 0.8219. And the yen is strengthened. Japan's stock market's unlikely to like that tomorrow. But you remember, this was up at 120, which is sort of a roundophobia target for a lot of people. Well, it's currently trading at 116.49 against the greenback. We have seen weakness in the Indian rupee, 63.5. The original target was from the Central Bank of India was to have that trading below just around the 60 ringgit to the US dollar. So 63.5, that's not up a whole lot in here, but I think that the central bank's going to look at what the dollar did and say, well, it's a whole lot higher right now, and India isn't going to want its currency appreciating to most of the other currencies within its Asia Pacific region. So it's letting that rupee weaken somewhat. And China, well, it's at it's at 619. Remember, that was at 6.1 not all that long ago. But those are not big moves here overall. And in the precious metals, well, they smoked them a bit in here today. Palladium down to, this is after hours here, 781.9. That's down over $20. Silver took a swan dive finally. It's currently at 1568. I bought a little bit. I bought back a third of what I had previously down at this level. And I'd said when I took my profit was it last week, slightly earlier? But I said that I was hoping to buy it back a little weaker. And if we get an overshoot on that to the downside tomorrow, I'll nibble again. Platinum weaker 1197, and gold has been not too bad overall, but it's still right off its $40 off its highs that we saw not long ago. So it's at 1195 in here. And grains and beans, soybeans and corn a little lower, wheat a little firmer. I think that was the same story yesterday as well. And copper, U.S. copper down another $1.65 to 286.20. Well, what's going to happen tomorrow? I expect some more lively activity, but we've got two-way activity in here overall. I certainly don't think it's the end of the world, although some people will bill it as such. The Russian situation is pretty hairy, particularly as Putin is such a loose cannon in here. But Russia was in meltdown today. We had the ruble just slumped to, it was well over 50% on the year, lower against the U.S. dollar. I think it reached briefly, it touched, I think, 70 rubles before firming a little bit along with the European markets. And the Russian stock market also getting down within kissing distance of the 2008-9 lows. And on that note, I look forward to some more excitement in this market tomorrow. I think if you have some investment cash and some high quality autonomy type shares that you like, it's worth nibbling on the easing that we're seeing in some of these markets. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.